Mic working, brother? Good. As Brother Shane has already read from this morning, I would like to revisit. You can be making your way to the book of Proverbs, but real briefly, I'm going to read from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, which says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Church, can you say with me all of your heart on three? One, two, three. All of your heart. This morning, as we look at this proverb, we're going to be instructed on what it looks like to seek wisdom, what it looks like to seek knowledge. And you may ask, well, why should I? Well, I want to remind you that as we look to the Word, the Word of God isn't to harm us, but it is to prosper us. It is to give us a life that we could never imagine. Not a life of prosperity, but a life of just goodness of the Father. A life, honestly, unworthy of having here on earth. Pyrite. I'm not saying pie, right? Like the dessert that you eat after a wonderful meal. Pyrite, if you're unfamiliar with that, it is also called fool's gold. In the middle to late 1800s, there was a massive gold rush that struck the land of California, and tens of thousands of people were beginning to move to the land to seek after this valuable piece of metal that you could dig up and source from rivers so you could gain wealth, so you can gain a future, so you can gain all these things. And there was a story that was recorded specifically about a guy named Samuel Blake from Ohio. And his story was this, is he was one of the many of 10,000 people that were running to California to seek after this gold rush. And whenever he gets there, he comes across one of the largest findings of gold nuggets. And like everybody in the campgrounds, everybody that was around was talking about Samuel. He had found it. His life has changed. Like the dream had happened. People were rushing to California to change their lives. Samuel's life has been changed with these massive findings of gold nuggets. Well, a gold professional comes in and he begins to inspect these gold nuggets to find out just how much they are worth, to find out that it is not gold, but rather pyrite, fool's gold. I'm going to read this short exhortation from this article. And it says this: "Finding fool's gold was a common and disheartening experience for many prospectors, and often led to significant emotional and financial strain. The promise of wealth would vanish in an instant, replaced by the bitter taste of disappointment." Many of us are searching for solutions. Many of us are trying to figure out the resolve to our problems, but we're often or finding ourselves disappointed in the results of what we're trying to pursue. We have this issue in our life, and we're going this direction hoping that we can find some help, some comfort, some assurance, just to find disappointment. This morning, we're going to see how we can find true wisdom and knowledge in life. I will say this morning, you're going to find that as I speak through this text, there's going to be a lot of times where I'm referring to finding comfort in the Lord by looking at this text. But I will say that the primary direction of this text is if you want to find true wisdom, if you want to find true knowledge on how to live life, on how to handle difficult circumstances, on how to make the right calls, Solomon is going to share with us what this looks like, how to move forward without being deceived. So this morning, if you will, join me in reading Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, as we prepare to go into this text this morning. The Word of God says this: "My son, if you receive my word and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your hearts to understanding." Verse 3, Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek for it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, lastly, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Church, let's pray together. Father, I thank you, God, for your word. Father, I thank you, God, for the freedom that we have in this country to be able to gather together and worship you. Father, I thank you, God, that we get to have your words in a language that we best understand and in a book that is so available to us. Father, it still blows me away. Father, to know that you are with us within these pages. So, Father, I just pray, God, that you'll be with us now. Father, I trust that you've already begun to prepare our hearts. Father, would we just continue to receive your word and apply it to our life? Father, be changed. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to look at this idea that you must seek to find. You must seek to find. Many of y'all played hide and go seek and different variations of those games, and you realize that a part of finding is that you must go seek. Well, this morning, what we're seeking for is wisdom and knowledge. What we're seeking for is fear of the Lord. And how do we get there? How do we begin to gain more wisdom? How do we become? How do we get to the point of gaining more knowledge? Well, Solomon leaves us with this in the beginning of chapter 2, what I call these three conditional if statements. These three if statements that saying that if we would abide by these things, if we would do these things, then it would lead us in a path of finding more wisdom and more knowledge. So let's look at this together in verses 1 and 2. The first thing we're going to see is if we stay attentive. Let's revisit verses 1 through 2 together. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your hearts to understanding. If we do these things, if we stay attentive to the words of God. Listen, you have your pastors and people around you and people who have discipled you who have told you to remain faithful to the reading of God's word. It's not because we're trying to create this legalistic aspect of life where we must be in it. It's us telling you, look, knowing God's word, holding firm to God's word in your life is better. Psalms 119, verse 11, we'll have Miss Diane, and I need y'all to repeat this with me. Psalm 119, 11. Can y'all say this with me? I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Let's say it again. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin. And we're going to do it again. Come on, church. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin. I'm going to give y'all one more time. Y'all got to say it. Let's go. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Church, if we want to get to the point of gaining wisdom, if we want to get to the point of gaining knowledge, of having fear of the Lord, we must be more attentive to the Word of God. We must incline our word to the Word of God. Verse 2 says, we need to make our ear attentive. We need to be in pursuit of it. Gaining wisdom requires you to desire it. Look, I used to have a junior high teacher that used to say, junior high students have peanut butter for brains. Well, sad news, there's some adults that also have peanut butter for brains, right? We have the ability to know. We have the ability to learn. We have the ability to grow. And there are some people who just desire to stay stagnant, like still water, not moving forward, not pursuing knowledge and wisdom of not only worldly things, but of God. We have the written, spoken word of God in front of us with the availability to read it in our own language, and we miss out on it. If we want to gain wisdom, if we want to gain knowledge, we need to incline our hearts to God's word. We need to treasure up his commandments. We need to hide thy word in thy heart so I may not sin against God. If you were with us whenever we went through the book of James, you're reminded of this text that I often share a lot of times when I'm up here, James 1:22. It says, to be a doer of the word, not a hearer of the word, lest you deceive yourself. Church, your responsibility as a believer and a follower of Christ is not just to say, I believe. But I believe whenever you come to true faith, to true belief, there should be an awe. There should be a pursuit. There should be an inclining of your heart. There should be an attentiveness to say, look, if I believe in Jesus, and I believe that Jesus can raise himself from the grave and that he did it, then everything that he must say must be true. Everything that he says must be important. So I incline my hearts to those things, staying attentive to him. The second if that we see this morning is if we call out. If we call out to him, the writer uses verbs that refers to a loud, instant plea for help, like a desperate cry. And you may say, Adam, I'm too much of a man to be pleading on my knees for wisdom and knowledge from God. Or maybe you're saying, well, Adam, what does it look like? What does that look like to cry out to the Lord, to cry out for insight, to raise our voice for understanding? I would maybe point you to a moment in your life that was pretty difficult. A moment in your life that was spiritually hard, physically hard, and you knew nothing else to do. It's like you were up against a brick wall. You didn't know where to go. And you and your faith has always taught you that we should lean on the Father. And in that moment of desperate need, of not knowing what to do, what you chose to do was to legitimately cry out to the Lord. Father, I need you. I don't know what else to do, but I'm trusting you in this moment. I would hope that at some point of y'all's life, you have experienced such a desperate cry for God. If you haven't, then I would wonder how much are you actually being in pursuit of God, because I don't know if y'all know this, but living's hard. Being alive is difficult. Right? It is difficult. And there are times it's going to require us to call out to the Lord, to plead to the Lord. Those moments of desperate need is what I believe that our life should look like on a daily basis. God, I need you. God, I want to hear from you. God, I want to understand more clearly what today looks like for me, for my ministry, for my family, for my home, for my work. God, I'm in desperate need of what it looks like to live in obedience with you in this moment. Having wisdom and discernment and knowledge of every aspect of life requires you to call out to the Father. During hard and desperate times, the only thing that you had was to cry out for God. May I implore you to always continue to cry out to God. Psalms 34 verse 17 says this. It says, the righteous cry out. Who? The righteous. The ones who are in pursuit of God. The ones who are trying to be transformed by the Spirit of God. The ones who are in full pursuit of Him. Those righteous people, they cry out. And the Lord hears them. And He delivers them from all of their trouble. Jeremiah 33:12 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you a great and unsearchable things that you do not know. You want to know wisdom and discernment? You want to understand life more clearly? We need to be in pursuit of crying out desperately to the Lord. Often in our language within the church, we often mention that as prayer. And I ask you, how strong and devoted is your prayer life? How much are you going to the Lord, crying out to Him about the things that are present in your life? I believe that it is natural to call out to things that have rule and authority over us. I often have my son running up to me at the house saying, Daddy, I need cheese balls! You know, and you're like, okay, son, let's go to the pantry and let's go get some cheese balls. He's always needing something, running up to me, asking, Daddy, I need help. I need help. Why? Because he knows that I'm the one who can offer him the help that he needs. Why should we cry out to the Lord? Church, it's because there is one whom when we cry out to him, he can offer us all the things that we need. He can tell us great, unsearchable things that you never thought you needed to know. But often, as we mature, pride begins to take over our life. I get it. You've got your life together. You know what is right or wrong, right? Why do I need to call out for God? Everything seems to be okay. I promise you that God knows more than you do. And if there's anybody that you're crying out to, it's Him. No matter what is going on in your life, cry out for God. The third thing we see here, the third if statement, if we search for it, read with me in verse 4. If you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, that says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has to buy the field. Verse 46, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What does it mean? What does Solomon mean whenever he says here, search for it? Seek it like silver. Search for it like hidden treasure. Some of y'all are interested in those treasure hunts. My dad likes to watch the show. What's that show? It's like over there in Maine. Curse of Oak Island. Yeah, and he's like, somebody's gonna find it. Like whatever. Well, I don't know what all they think's there. I don't watch it. I think they've been searching for 7 years and they just haven't found anything. I don't even know. But he's just waiting. He watches on the edge of his seat, like the newest thing. They're like, look at this rock. He's like, Adam, did you see that rock? I'm like, Dad, it's a rock, right? He's excited. He's searching. He's waiting for them to find a hidden treasure. Why? Because it means something to them. There are men who have laid down their life trying to look for the treasure on that island that may or may not be there. There have been many people who have went on massive treasure hunts to find this treasure just to reap the reward of it. And that treasure may not even be there. Church, I want you to know that the treasure of the kingdom of heaven is not hidden from us. It's evident. It's in front of us. It is calling out, waiting for us to receive it, waiting for us to use it, waiting for us to prosper from it. And like these people who found this hidden treasure in the field, he goes and sells everything that he has to buy the field because he wants the treasure. Like the merchant who is searching for fine pearls and he found this one pearl of great value and he sold all that he had so he can buy that pearl. What does it mean to look for it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure? I believe it means to give up everything. It's worth giving up everything. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever thoughts you have, give it up and find the hidden treasure. Search for it. Oftentimes, whenever I'm sharing the gospel with people, especially in the Bible Belt, one of the things that I have to overcome the most is their bad theology. Well, Jesus said this. No, he didn't. And then to try to show them that this is wrong. Well, I've been raised my whole life. I get that you have. But look here. Give up that thought. What does Scripture say? Search for it. Find it. Seek after it. And when you do these things, when you choose, church, to finally receive the Word of God and treasure up the commandments within you, when you finally decide to begin to call out for insight, not when times get hard, but in every single aspect of life, you are calling out for insight.
You are raising your voice for understanding. You are imploring with the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? What does this look like? When you finally begin to search for God like silver, like hidden treasure, willing to give it all up to be in pursuit of God, church, then I will tell you. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And you may say, Adam, why is it so important for me to find the fear of the Lord? Why is it so important for me to understand the fear of the Lord? And then, with that, find the knowledge of God. And I would like to remind you that the many things that we are faced in life, God is trying to give us direction. God is trying to show us the way to get through it. And if we don't have the fear of the Lord, then oftentimes we lose the respect of His Word. I used to have a motorcycle. To understand the fear of the Lord, when I go outside and I see a motorcycle, I don't get scared, right? But when I had my motorcycle, every time I got on that puppy, I was always reminded, this thing can hurt me badly, right? I didn't get on it. I wasn't crying. I wasn't scared of it, but I had respect for it. I made sure that I abounded by its rules. I made sure that I was looking out for the things that were in front of me, make sure there was no grass clippings in the road that we like to throw in there and you can slide sideways and fall on. I made sure that when I was on it, I was paying attention to the right way to ride the bike. The fear of the Lord, one, is a reverency of fear. Knowing that judgment's coming, knowing that He's watching, knowing that everything's going on, but it's also this respect for Him. And it's when we get to that point of knowing His Word, crying out for Him, searching for Him, that we begin to understand more clearly what is the fear of the Lord. Why? Because we're more in tune to it. We're not having to question or wonder so much about who is God and how does this work, because you're growing with Him. You're in pursuit of Him. You're trying to obediently follow Him. And then you will find the knowledge of God. Now, how does that work? Well, I'm reminded in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching, and He's teaching about people who have anxiety issues, people who worry. And He begins to tell them about the birds and the flowers, and He says, look, why would you worry? Don't I care for you so much more? But then at the very end, the last verse, He gives us the remedy. The true remedy on how to not experience anxiety as much. How to not worry as much. And He says this. He says, but first, seek the kingdom. And then these things will be added unto you. This is what's often happening within our faith. We're worrying. We have anxiety. We have marital issues. We got financial issues. And we're just wanting God to just solve them. God, just fix it. Put it back to normal. When God is saying, you've missed it. All the things that you're struggling with, I've already taught you not to worry about those things. But what you're missing is not anything on my part. What you're missing is what's on your part. First, seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom, and then these things will be added unto you. So when we begin to receive God's word and treasure up His commandments, making our ear attentive to wisdom, when we begin to cry out for insight, when we begin to search for God like it's hidden treasure, then we will find the fear of the Lord and knowledge of God. Our life begins to change because we begin to see God more clearly. We begin to see Him more clearly. And so you may say, Brother Adam, why do I have to do this? Reality is you don't. You don't have to do it. You don't have to spend your days seeking and searching after God. Some of you don't. Today is your day of seeking and searching after God. You don't have to. But if you do, I would love to remind you that the moment that you do begin to seek after God like Solomon has encouraged us to do so, you will find an understanding of the fear of the Lord and knowledge of God that will bring you peace and comfort through difficult and hard times. Peace and comfort through the really good times, because you have hidden God's word in your heart. And it transforms you. It makes you different. You have to seek to find. I want to close with this thought, this illustration. I don't know if any of you parents have ever done this before, but you know, my kids are getting old. I can start playing with them now. And so you know, sometimes when kids want to play, now's not a good time, like you're cooking, and so you're like, hey bud, let's play hide and go seek. So you're like, I'll count to 10. 1, 2, and he just like gets out from underneath you, and you're like, ah, and you're like, Adam, you're terrible. You've done it too. All right. And so what you have now is you have this kid that runs off and he's hiding in a closet and he's just sitting there just waiting. Daddy's coming. He's gonna open up that door and he's gonna find me. And the sad news is, because he can't think through that, huh, buddy? He's left there waiting, and Daddy never comes. But just imagine for me. Imagine the moment that I do play hide and go seek, and I tell him to take off, and he goes and runs in the closet again. He's sitting there smiling. I just want you to imagine with me the moment that I open up the door, and he's sitting there waiting for me. Just a smiling, huh? He's holding his sister right now. Just a smiling. Daddy, you found me. Like, you've been looking for me. You found me. And just how excited he is. Here's the thing. He was always hidden. There was no difference in him. What changed was me. I finally sought after him. I finally went to go see him. And the moment that I finally opened up that door, I had this glorious surprise of my kid looking back at me. What a treasure. What a gift. Some of you are thinking this. Adam, I know that God has plans to prosper me. I know that God is wanting to do a work through me and for me. I know that, and I believe in that. Then my question to you is this. Why aren't you seeking? Just wait till that door gets swung open and you see it. Just wait till you see the beauty of what it looks like to be obedient in pursuing God. Watch your life change. I've seen people on anxiety and depression medicine who come to know Jesus and they don't need that anymore. Because God brought that life into them. Took it away from him. And so, church, I implore you this morning and ask and tell you that you must seek to find. Are you seeking? Have you been waiting for that thing to find? Have you not been able to find it because you haven't been seeking? You must seek to find. So, church, what we're going to begin to do is receive the word of God and treasure up his commandments with you. Making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your hearts to understanding. Wanting it. Church, want it. Want more wisdom. Want more Bible. Calling out for insight and raising your voice to understanding. Don't settle for the lowest of lows of knowledge. Call out for God. Cry out for him in every single aspect of your life and search for it like silver. Search for it like hidden treasure. Don't give up on it. Be excited about the new things that you can find every single day. My grandfather, he would always call me. I live right next to him. He would always call me and he would ask me these Bible questions that were so irrelevant. Papa, why are you calling? Like, that's not that big of a deal. Adam, I just want to know. Don't you? I just want to know. Church, let that be your heart. To know God. To be in pursuit of God. And then letting it radically change your life like you would never have thought it would. Church, let's pray together. Father God, I thank you. God, for this morning, this moment, this time in your word. Father, I do pray this, that the congregation at Mount Zion Baptist Church would not settle for a surface level faith when you've been calling out from the deep. So Father, I pray God that Father, we will be in full pursuit of you, desiring to know you more clearly, to search for you like hidden treasure, to sell all the things that we have to know you better, because Father, you are more valuable than anything this world has to offer us. So Father, may we be in pursuit of you in knowledge and in wisdom, gaining it on the way. Father, be with us, Father, as we have this time of response. Father, convict our hearts. Father, show us where we can be in pursuit of you better, God. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.